This is the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. We're taking it back to the roots, getting dirty and covering all things off-road, because pavement, well, that's for It's gloves off, in your face, on the edge, and the way off-road should be. We're your definitive source for all things dirt. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing anywhere is possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Welcome to the General Tire Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, and we are going to keep this one short, sweet, to the point. I got a couple of my good friends on the show today. We got Jimco's Robbie Pierce, also runs the Trophy Drug. He's out at the Dakar Rally with Fastball Racing. He's going to be on the show. They're also a big sponsor of the Parker 425. And we've also got Brian Folks with Best in the Desert, one of the head guys over there at Best in the Desert. They're going to be telling us, pretty much everything, around the Parker 425 and what's in store for us in 2020 with Best in the Desert. So thanks to all of you for joining me. Go over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button to the show. Much appreciated for everybody who has. If you haven't already, please do that. Please hit that rating button. It helps us out a ton. 1 through 5 stars. Won't tell you how to rate us. Just tell you, please drop us a rating. I'm at Jim Beaver 15 on social media. And along those lines, check us out at downanddirtyshow.com. We're dropping all kinds of content. All that being said, we are going to take a short commercial break. I know you guys hate it, taking a commercial break the first 5 minutes of the show, but you know what? That's because we get it out of the way, and then you don't have to worry about them the rest of the show. Yes, that is right. We're going to take a short commercial break. We come back. It's going to be Jimco's Robbie Pierce. We got Brian Folks from Best of the Desert. Great interview coming at you right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing anywhere as possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome a couple of my good friends to the show. Brian Folks with Best in the Desert, my good friend Robbie Pierce, who is coming, spent a few weeks in Saudi Arabia. Robbie, I got to ask before we get into things. I mean, how was that? You've raced the longest races in the United States with Vegas Torino. You've gone down and done the Baja 1000. How does any of that even come close to what happened at the Dakar Rally?
It is. It's really hard to explain. And as a TV viewer of Dakar and fan from afar, like we always do, you always, are a little skeptical, but, about it. Like, yeah, they race 17 days, but there's these liaisons and, you kind of discount it a little bit until you're there. And no, it's like racing racing the Baja 500 or the, you know, actually probably more related to like Vegas Reno. And it's like doing that every day, except you're moving every day. So, you know, you start in one city and you've got this huge bivouac with all the setup, like say the Python, right? And then you start your race and you finish and now you're in some other city, but you've got all your, you know, support vehicles and everybody's there too. So I forget what year it was when Best in Desert did the 3-day deal. It's kind of similar to that, but it's just a grind. You kind of just grind it out. And I thought there would be, you know, maybe we'd race 180 miles a day or something, but no, we're you know, 460 kilometers, right? We're 500 kilometers. It's just a grind. And I was actually pretty proud of Bobby and I just being a couple old fat guys. And but we held up pretty good. We went into stage six feeling pretty good about what we were doing, just kind of holding our own and getting a feel for it. So, yeah. But it's an amazing thing to be able to do. It was like racing on, and somebody said in one of the shows, it was like racing on an alien planet. It was just so vast and so big. The canyons, the spires, the you know, it's like at one point in time, you feel like you're in a giant Metomi Wash, and the next minute you feel like you're racing through Monument Valley. Yeah. It was amazing.
Well, and you know, and we'll jump into things, and I know we'll grab Brian here in a second, but I wanted to ask one more question. You know, and this was going back a year when they announced this event was going to Saudi Arabia. I mean, immediately the entire world was red flags. You know what I mean? We can't go there. We can't do okay. this. But now, I mean, shifting gears. I mean, that country has done a massive shift in just a short amount of time, and I mean, it looked to me like it was just an amazing experience. You know, everybody was welcome with open arms, and I feel like the media spun things over there kind of in a direction where it really isn't.
Well, exactly, and or that, you know, I think more accurately so, that it has been a big turnaround over the last year with Saudi Arabia's. Project, I think they call it the 2030 project, where they're wanting to bring more tourism. Talking to one of the people in one of the small towns, they said this town looked completely different a year ago. They've spent a lot of money on infrastructure and highways and roads and things to try to get everything built up. But I've never felt as welcome any place. And we had a little bit of apprehension going over there, but I've never felt as welcomed in any place in the world as I was there. The people, especially, you know, having the American flag on our T-shirts or uniforms or hats or anything like that, they immediately were drawn to us and you know, wanted selfies and wanted pictures. And as Kelly, my wife, said in one of her posts, you become kind of a default ambassador for America, and you want to put your best foot forward. And just in some of the you know, the small encounters, Kelly had a small encounter with a young girl who wanted a selfie, but her father wouldn't let her, right? And she respected that and whatnot. But as the girl walked away, she blew Kelly a kiss, right? And you could just tell that little girl is going to be changed forever now because of it, right? So it was just an amazing thing. But absolutely, they love Americans over there. They loved everybody. Actually, they were very welcoming. You'd be out in a canyon racing, you know, feel like 100 kilometers from anywhere, and there'd be just like in Mexico, there'd be a bunch of locals standing up on a hill, cheering you on and with the cameras out. It was amazing.
Yeah. Well, and I know we'll bring Brian Folks in here, but I know you mentioned that. I can say, you know, I guess, you know, Vegas to Reno runs through some of the most remote stuff in Nevada that I think we, you know, some of the most remote areas we've got in the country, you know, Alaska aside. But I can say I see the same thing at Vegas to Reno. We'll be out in the middle of nowhere, and then all of a sudden there's going to be a car and some people sitting on the side of the road. I'm like, wait. One, how did they get there? And two, what are they doing? You know, but I'm sure yeah. You've experienced some stuff, Brian, you know, just going through the backwoods of Nevada.
Yeah, well, you know, Nevada is a very vast land, and it's actually has more mountain ranges in the state of Nevada than I think the next four or five states put together. So there's a lot of vastness in Nevada. And, you know, crazy enough as it sounds, where you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere in Nevada, the reality is the way the course lays out, and we have to stay as close to the highway as we can due to pits and whatnot, you're really not that far off of civilization. But Nevada certainly can make you feel like that because of the vast mountain ranges and the valleys and whatnot.
Yeah, well, I know
I would ask you,
what's that, Robbie?
No, I'd absolutely agree with that. Brian, if you could introduce some camels in there, we'd have it all covered. That was the it's kind of one of the things I, you know, had to get used to is, you know, watching out for herds of camels. And I had, when I was there, when they were, you know, giving us some tips, they said, you know, always follow the camel tracks. And I had to laugh because it was something I'd never heard before in desert racing. So, but yeah, it has that same vastness and same feel to it.
Yeah. So all that being said, I know Parker 425 this weekend, Jimco, Robbie, your company, well, you've been involved with the 425 for a long time. I mean, with Impact, when you own Impact, now shifting gears, and Jimco's kind of taken over that that presenting partner role in it. Brian, I know, you know, as we kind of get into that, you know, Parker, you know, things changed a little bit this year. You guys moved the date up to hopefully, you know, bring in some more unlimited truck entries where there's not a kind of a conflict like we've had in the past. But I got to tell you, I got to give Best of the Desert credit because kind of the smaller event has become almost the bigger event here in Parker. What was it, 295 entries at the Parker 250 last weekend?
Yeah, 296 left the start line. We had 310 entered, but we had a, you know, obviously those other small group of teams had to pull out, but that is officially the biggest entry we've ever had for the Parker 250. And I think, like you said, Jim, it was obvious that you know, the 250 itself is actually gaining traction, and it's a big event for the UTVs, the motorcycle guys, the quad guys. It's growing into a bigger event every year, and you know, our entry count was definitely indicative of that.
Yeah, well, and I know just the buzz around Parker's been, everybody's kind of like, whoa, what just happened? Because it had the feel around town of the Parker 425, and the Parker 250s never really had that feel before. But everybody was going like, wow, this is a big deal. And even there was a lot of, you know, I think, you know, sponsors, industry companies and stuff that came out to the event. They didn't necessarily vend because in the past it's been smaller. And all of them were kind of, that I've talked to, all looked at each other and go, wow, we this is on our calendar next year. We need to be all in with this event because it was just weird, like a year-to-year shift. I don't know if we've ever seen that in an event before, and this one's slowly been growing. But this year I felt like, bam, I mean, it's on the map. It's like a must-attend event now.
It is, and I think actually, Jim, there's two things in play that are helping create that. Number one, I think we at Best in the Desert are doing a lot better job with our marketing and our advertising and social media and whatnot. So, you know, we started a plan about a year ago. Actually, it started talks about a year and a half ago. We started implementing it a year ago, and everything has just come together. It's been a long process, a lot of work, but our advertising and our promotion of each event really kind of came out with the Parker 250. So that had an effect. And then the second effect, Jim, is the UTV. The UTV market is the fastest growing segment of our market. And it just keeps growing. And you know, you're seeing it with specifically with the Parker 250 because it's a UTV event, whereas the 425 coming this weekend is just cars and trucks.
Yeah. Well, you know, like you said, I think it's really taken the industry by storm. I know Robbie can attest to this, and I think sometimes he's shaking his head in the past going, wow, this is really a thing, Robbie. But, you know, I mean, I was just looking. I mean, we have the Serapis is here, and they've got an investment. They're building an unlimited UTV. And, you know, I know Rob McCachran's got his kids racing UTVs. And, you know, you from a safety standpoint and things like that, I know at Impact you started developing UTV-eccentric, you know, products. But even at Jimco, I mean, you guys got to be selling, you know, quite a few, you know, I know in addition to building, you guys have the retail side of things now, and I got to think you got to have quite a few UTV customers on the safety side of things now.
Oh, absolutely. And it's what we found. You just can't ignore that market no matter how hard you try. Right. And it's here to stay, and it's bringing in more and more people into the industry. And I don't want to say it's a feeder class because it's its own deal, but it's a point of entry for a lot of people to get into off-road and then to grow into, you know, hopefully end up in, you know, spec trucks or trophy trucks or class one unlimited cars or whatnot. But it's a, you know, it's a great way to get new people in. And it's grown so much that, you know, organizations like Dustin Desert have had to add, you know, second days and more events to, you know, to fill that need. So I think it's all great. I think it's great for the sport. We saw it over in Dakar. I mean, the popularity of the UTV classes over there with Blade and Mitch Guthrie, and then, you know, Casey Curry did a phenomenal job. I had much respect for him for grinding that out for 12 days and taking that win. It was pretty amazing. The bike guys are, of course, studs, but it was Ricky and Toby Price. But, you know, the UTVs are here to stay, that's for sure. It was a big part of it over there as well.
Yeah, I laugh you mentioned Toby Price, because I've told Toby for the longest time, I said, yeah, you're an Australian, but I said, we claim you. I'm like, you're an American, buddy. I said, everybody here roots for you. I said, you can say you're an Aussie, but you're really not.
Yeah, Toby's awesome. I had the opportunity of meeting him down in Adelaide when I raced with SFT, and he's just a stud. He really is. I always likened him to Tom Hanks in the movie Big. He's just a big kid, right? Just having fun. It was pretty good. But no, the Parker 425 is just an iconic race. It's a legacy race, and you know, as you said earlier, with we sponsored it with Impact, and we just feel it's really important if we're in this industry and we're a part of this industry as a legacy company like Mastercraft or of course Jimco, we need to give back and we need to support the people like Brian and Best in the Desert that give us an avenue in which to go out and race. You know, that's a tough industry to be in, and so we as a manufacturer need to support that and keep and make sure that there's always an avenue and an arena for us to race in.
Yeah, well, and Brian, you know, that being said, I know, you know, you guys have made a, you know, Parker, like we said, it's been an iconic race. I think we were doing the math here, and I think we're maybe a year away from we're getting really close to having the 50th anniversary of the Parker 425. It's getting really close, but you guys kind of made a big investment, a big change this year. I know a couple of years ago, due to safety concerns, you split the race up, and there was a morning race and an afternoon race. This year, you guys went even further, and it's a two-day race, racing on Friday and racing on Saturday. I mean, you know, that's a big statement for an organization like Best in the Desert to take on that expense, but do it on behalf of the racers to make things even safer.
Absolutely. It was actually, we started talking about this about 3 years ago, right after my dad passed away, and we knew we had an issue. I personally knew it was an issue because I was still racing at the time. I was racing with Banning Motorsports, and it was a really big deal for Banning. When I first started racing with Banning, there was just one race, one day. And teams like Banning, they would come out and they would get a big giant tent and they'd throw a big party after the race and do a big cookout. And it was really a really good time. And then eventually my dad, because of the amount of entries, had to push it to a two-day race. Because literally the last year was just one race. The leader was coming around off of the first loop when the last guy was leaving the start line. So the trick trucks, these guys within 1 or 2 miles of the first lap were already lapping people, guys who just left the start line. So that's why my dad switched it to a two race in one day event. But what happened is because a lot of the bigger teams, you know, they were racing in the second race. Well, they're not finishing until 11, 12 o'clock at night. So that kind of took the whole fun aspect, because you know Parker's typically the, you know, it has been and it is now, it's the kickoff event for car truck off-road race of the season, and a lot of teams make a big deal about it, and what happened with the two races in one day, you know, you were taking that whole camaraderie aspect away from the race. So we knew we had an issue, and you know, for an organization, our problem, you know, I get this a lot. Why don't you do 2 days of racing? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Nobody ever stops to think how many volunteers are out on that race course. We're already asking them to be there basically from sun up to sundown. And then now you're asking them to do that on a two-day basis versus one day. So it was, you know, we really had to give it a lot of thought. Was it at the end of the day, we think it's the right thing to do for the racers. And I think it's going to go off great. You know, we're going to have Friday's day of racing is going to be great racing. Then the next day we'll have racing. But in between the Friday night, I think we're going to see a lot of camaraderie and things happen with race teams that we haven't had in the past. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's always about the racers, but it's always about those teams and their support crews and making sure that those guys are getting a good weekend of enjoyment and they're getting fulfilled and whatnot. And I think by adding the 2 days of racing, we hopefully will accomplish that.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I got to ask, Robbie, I know, you know, you're just getting back from Dakar. You've got, I feel like you've almost had to sideline your racing career to an extent because now all of a sudden your retirement job, which is Jimco, has become, it's become a beast of its own, my friend.
Yeah, it was a little poor planning on my part, right? I ruined a perfectly good retirement, as I said. I'm having a blast, though. I felt as home here at Jimco as I've ever felt anywhere. I grew up right here in San Diego, right in the Santee area. Started my shop in 1981, about a block away from Jimco, and I was TIG welding up chassis for, you know, John Emke over at AutoFab and Steve Spierkopf. And so it's a little bit like coming home. And at the end of the day, when we get to hand somebody a new car or a new pre-runner, that's the big reward. The problem with that, and it's the lies you tell yourself when you do things, you know, buy race cars or boats or whatever. But the problem with it is I thought, oh, we'll build some cars. I'll get to do a little racing and, you know, kind of towards the end of my career. But, you know, like anything else, the customers come first. So I find that my pre-runner and my race car are the last ones to get prepped. We want to make sure that our customer stuff is race ready when they need it. So we haven't quite got a handle on all that, but we're having fun. And we had a great season last year and with some new customers. And we're looking forward to 2020 at Best in Desert.
Well, and I got to ask you, we'll ask the hard question. It's probably a little bit of both, but is it more gratifying to have your safety products, say, win the Indy 500 with Alexander Rossi, or is it more gratifying to have, say, one of your trucks win, a marquee desert race?
Well, I tell you what, it's pretty close. Not to bring up a deal, but last year Met 400 when Justin Lofton won in Trick Truck and Parkhouse won in the Unlimited. That was a pretty good day at the Jimco. I was pretty excited about it. We looked like geniuses, at least for a day. But, it's pretty hard to compare. I always remember the time that Antoine Brown went into the wall at 318 miles an hour and 2 days later walked in with his suit that was, you know, half charred and signed it, and, you know, kind of a little tear in his eye. Just thanking us for building the safety equipment and for him being able to walk away, and that's pretty touching. It's hard to beat. So. Yeah.
Well, and I know I ran into him both at.
Both of them are pretty.
What's that? Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say I ran into Antron, you know, and it's funny you mentioned that. And I know you and Antron are close friends, and I ran into him at both PRI and at the SEMA show. Every time I run into him, all he wants to talk about is off-road racing. Here's one of the greatest drag racers on the planet, and all he wants to do is talk about coming and racing off-road again. I know he raced the Razor with me and the Mint a couple years ago, but now, you know, I know you guys were working on a program to get him a 6100, he said, and it just didn't quite work out, but I got to tell you, you want to talk about off-road, you know, biting people. Him and Steve Torrance, those two guys are yep. Case in point there.
Yeah, exactly. They are bitten for sure. Yeah, we tried to get him in last year. We still are talking about it. Their schedules are just hard to make that all work. But, he's Antoine is just one of my favorite people in the world. I always tease him about it. He asked me about it. He says, can I race off-road? I says, no. He said, why? I says, because you don't know how to turn left or right, right? So, they actually picked it up pretty good and did pretty well at the Mint that year. And so I think they're pretty excited about doing. But Antoine's got some new exciting things he's doing this year. So hopefully we can find some time to get him in an off-road race. That would certainly be great for him and the sport.
Yeah, for sure. So, Brian, shifting gears, I know this is a big year for Best in the Desert. You guys have, you guys have announced some new events onto the calendar. I know, you guys are kind of some new partners coming on board. I mean, this is kind of a turning point for Best in the Desert. You know what I mean? And it's a big, big year for the organization.
Jim, you pin the tail on the donkey. It's a really, really big year for us. It's the first year since I can remember going back, I don't know, 8-9 years ago, where Best in the Desert is promoting only our own properties. That's a big deal. Like you said, we brought in a whole brand new event with the Battleborn 250, and then we brought back the Blue Water Desert Challenge. Those are two events that, you know, we're hoping to do well this year. But then on top of that, we had a lot of sponsor contracts expire at the end of this year. So we had to either renew contracts or we had to go out and find new sponsors, because at the end of the day, in order for Best in the Desert to stay successful and profitable and all that good stuff, we need support from companies like Jimco and Robbie. They, you know, we need their support. We need the dollars in order to grow the sport and grow our organization and get better for the racers. So we had a lot of things on tap. And then on top of it, we brought in a new PR agency and hired a first time social media manager. So we've put the things in place that we need to do in order to keep our sponsors happy and continue to grow Best in the Desert and grow the sport. So we're definitely at a pivotal year. And, you know, if the Parker 250 is any indication of what the rest of the year is going to look like, then we're in good shape. And so far we're looking good for the Parker 425. Entries are up. They're looking good. We got a lot of things planned for this weekend, and we're excited.
Awesome. Well, I am looking forward to it. I know as we're recording this, we've got qualifying tomorrow in the Downtown Experience, and then I know just after that, it's all hands on deck all week long. But I know Robbie Jimco will be a contingency, and I know you guys will be measuring for suits and trying to keep everybody safe and hopefully selling a – still got a 6100, I think, sitting in the garage for sale, right?
Yeah, we still do. Got a few of them for sale. As they always say, everything's for sale, right?
Yeah. So,
but no, we'll be there, and hopefully everybody comes by and, you know, tell war stories and, you know, share our experience in Dakar. And I want to thank Brian. We're really looking forward to being a part of the Best and Better program this year. And we're excited for the series. We really are. And I think it's all good for the whole industry.
Well, I appreciate both of you guys taking the time. Thanks for calling in, guys, and we'll see you out here at Parker.
Life is all about sound, the sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount. And welcome back here to the General Tire Down and Dirt Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. Thanks to Robbie Pierce and Brian Folks for coming on the show. And I guess that's going to be about it for today's episode. You know, we got the national show coming up. Do want to make mention, we got some badasses on that one. We got Toby Price and we got Colin Braun, 24 Hours of Daytona winner. So definitely don't want to miss out on those guys. And it's always fun here on the Down and Dirty Show having these amazing guests and, you know, obviously our amazing listeners like you guys. Please go over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button, or Apple Podcasts, I guess it's called now. Hit the subscribe button, leave us a rating, check us out at downanddirtyshow.com. Follow me at JimBeaver15 on social media, and we'll see you here next time on the Off-Road Edition. That's right, we're being brought to you by General Tire as well as Polaris Razor. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability, balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing anywhere as possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.